I first met Stefan here back in 1981. At that time, I was researching the making of a film about Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli. And when I heard he was going to be in town, I called his manager and was invited over to meet him after one of the shows here. Stefan, at that time, I'd probably been approached by several filmmakers that wanted to make something about his life or his music. And we sat there after the gig here, drinking his favorite scotch, Chivas Regal, and talking about Django, talking about the 30s. He was kind of probing me to find out how much I knew about his music, what Stefan and Django had done together, the Hot Club of France. And in the 3 days I spent with him while he was here, the times we went to lunch together, I realized now that I was being auditioned as a filmmaker. Not as a musician, but as a filmmaker. And one of the things that struck me about Stefan was his curiosity. He had an almost childlike curiosity. I remember taking him to a Sicilian restaurant in North Beach, and he was wide-eyed about the mafia. He wanted to know all about the mafia. And I think he was really disappointed that when we left, no hitman had walked in. So by the time he got ready to leave and go back to Europe, I guess I must have passed the audition because he said, why don't you come over and meet me over in Great Britain for the tour we're going to have there? I said, okay, I'll do it. He said, just call my manager in Edinburgh, Scotland, and arrange it. Well, about a month later, there I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, face to face with Stefan, my tape recorder in hand, notebook in the other. And for the next few days, we spent time chatting, talking, hotel rooms, bars, restaurants. And finally, the big night came where Stefan and his quartet were going to play at Usher Hall in Edinburgh, which is a big, massive opera hall. And I thought, God, this is a weird place for Stefan to be playing. Well, it turns out the BBC were doing a big film production, and it was going to be done with Julian Weber, who was Andrew Lloyd Webber's brother. And Julian Weber is a classical viola player. So there they were on the stage together, this big stage, full house, cameras everywhere. I was really jealous. I mean, there's cameras that I would never have been able to afford everywhere, recording equipment. And they start playing, first the quartet by themselves, and they swing. I mean, they're good, they're hot, they're like I heard them here. Although the venue is so big that they're sort of swallowed up by it. And as soon as Julian Weber starts to play, all the swing kind of goes out of it. I mean, it's just like the guys are trying to hold the thing together, and here's this viola sort of grinding away, and it's like, oh my God, this is terrible. What's going on here? So, you know, in between when they had a break, I talked to Martin Taylor, who you heard earlier. I said, what's going on, Martin? Why did BBC want to do this? Well, Martin said, you know that Stefan and Yehudi Menuhin teamed up some years before and had made three very successful big selling albums. And he said, I guess they thought this was a good way to do it again, bring a classical guy in with our quartet, swing, play a little, you know, jazz, a little bit of classical. He said, what they don't realize is that it took hours for us to get a song down with Yehudi. Yehudi can't improvise. And every time that Stefan would play something, Yehudi would say, stop, write it down. And Martin Taylor had to write it down. And Martin said it was the most excruciating, long recording session I've ever been. I was fatigued, he said, because Stefan never played the same thing twice. So he always had to stop and write it down. So after that, I thought, yeah, okay, this is where I'm not going to do the filming. I'm going to try to find a jazz club. 2 days later, we were in London, and we went to, it was a real jazz club, Club 26. It was a basement room, long, narrow, hot, smoky, a jazz club. And Stefan was the only one that seemed cool in this place. I mean, my eyes were burning. I mean, I was sweating. Stefan was just sort of like floating, didn't matter. He finally got on stage. They played, they were hot. They played, they were just back to where they were supposed to be, playing really good swing. And within 5 minutes of the gig, one of the mics went there, went right in front of Stefan. The technician crawls up on the stage, looks at Stefan. Stefan keeps playing, doesn't bat an eye, just keeps going. Guy changes the mic, and I'm saying to myself, oh boy, Christ, I hope this doesn't happen when I'm filling Stefan. Like, yeah, I hope this doesn't happen to me. 10 minutes later, mic goes out again. I think, oh, Stefan's going to blow up. No, Stefan, just all he does is he swings harder. The guy comes, changes the mic, and I'm thinking, God, this would be a great thing to happen. I'd love to have this happen. It'd be a filmic moment. It went on that night all back and forth. Stefan didn't complain, never said a word about it. I thought, this is going to be a piece of cake. To have a guy like this that can play under such adverse conditions and never stop, never show that he's upset. In fact, the only time I ever saw Stefan ever complain to me was when I was filming here at the Great American Music Hall, and we had these big, bright film lights. And he says, it's so hot, it's so bright. And I realized he was worried his violin might go out of tune because it was so much heat on the stage. Only time he ever complained. Well, after that, he invited me to follow him to Paris, and partly because he wanted me to meet his French agent. See, I'd met his Scottish and British agent, and he had a French agent, and then later I was learning he had an American agent in New York. I mean, it was Stefan's classic divide and conquer. And I mean, that's what those agents would do. I mean, and I had to deal with all of them to make this film, so now I knew what the routine was. Well, he invited me to his apartment. I noticed there was a room with a piano, and I knew he played piano, but I hadn't seen him play because, I see him play once here, but not in his British gigs. And I said, well, Stefan, you play very much? I practice piano every day. Every day I practice piano. So I never practice the violin, but always practice the piano. He said, if I don't practice the piano, I'll lose my chops. In fact, he said, I almost became a piano player. He said it was a lot easier getting gigs as a piano player in the 30s when I was struggling for work than playing violin. And he said, after I heard Art Tatum, he said, Art Tatum is what we call him. He said, I never could ever equal anything like that. He said, I'm going back to the violin. That one I can master. What he did. Thank God for all of us that did that. Getting back to San Francisco when we were getting ready to do the filming, the last story I know several Stefan stories, but we have a full night tonight, so I'm just going to limit them to those that seem pertinent to what we're doing. After Stefan did his gig here, and he was downstairs and always had guests coming. He had old friends, musicians, people that would come and greet him, and it was gracious. He was old world gracious. He was always a friend to everybody. He gave everybody some time, or he signed programs. Never complained about that, but I remember that evening in particular because towards the end he took his violin in his hands and he caressed it and he started wiping it down carefully, and then he took out a scarf, silk scarf that had musical motifs on it, and he wrapped it around. And I said, Stefan, what are you doing here? He said, well, he said, this scarf belonged to Django Reinhardt. It was given to me by his wife, Nagin. And I always put my violin to bed in this scarf. And as he caressed and closed the cover, he said in French to his violin, ma chérie, vous avez bien travaillé ce soir. Maintenant, soyez fatigué. My love, you very well worked. You worked very hard tonight, but now you're tired. And I realized that when Stefan played the violin, he made love to that violin. That violin was almost a person, a lover for him. And that's why he got such great music and why he gave us all what he gave us, the pleasure of long years of great jazz swing music. Thank you.
Raymond Poirier.